Welcome back to the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast. I am your host, Frankie Sachs. I am joined by my regular co-host, Javier Cancedo. And this time, we have a special guest with us. In fact, a two-time special guest.
Absolutely, Frankie. Welcome back, everybody. He did so well the first time around. You were around, but he did so well that we only had to bring him back. Last season's EuroCup Finals MVP, Dreamland Gran Canaria forward, Jan Schurner. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, well, let's begin. Gran Canaria started with 10 consecutive wins, and now you've been a bit of a struggle, but you lost two games in overtime, nothing to worry about, right? I mean, you're in the Copa del Rey, the team is doing well. Do you have the season right exactly where you want it to be, right?
Obviously we've had a difficult stretch here in the Euro Cup. We've lost two games in overtime to Ulm and Borg, and another loss at home to Trento, and all really good teams who were the better teams on that night. I think Borg's probably playing the best in our group right now, and the other teams are playing at a high level too. So I think it's one of those things where we have to, you know, the level is going to continue to rise, and we have to match that intensity and, continue to play our best. So obviously a difficult moment for us in the Euro Cup, but this happens in over the course of a long season.
I would imagine that the positive way to look at it is that if there's any time to have a crisis, it's now, so you can rebuild your momentum heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, fortunately, with between your domestic league games and the Euro Cup games, you know, it's great preparation in terms of you're playing a high level opponent each night, especially playing in the Spanish league and in the Euro Cup. So it's one of those things where you realize you have to be playing at a high level and bring your best for each game, no matter whatever the opponent's record is. You have to be playing your best basketball and play 100%, or you're going to lose on that night. And that's what we've been finding out here these last couple of games in the Euro Cup. But I think we have a good veteran group, so I think hopefully we can find a way to bounce back.
And with so many troubles, I mean, you played in Valencia, now you go to Liet Cavalis to play Euro Cup, then you go to Malaga. How does the Fantasy Challenge help to entertain yourself a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know what the early guys think of back-to-back double weeks, but for us, we left Saturday, and now we won't get home till the next Sunday. Like you said, we played at Valencia last night, and then we play at Lake Cabillas, and then we play at Malaga. So we play less games than EuroLeague teams, but I think we're on the road more than they are, just due to the long travels from Gran Canaria.
So that allows you more research time than anybody else for the Fantasy Challenge.
Well, yeah, with my great research, I didn't play Shane Larkin. I've had Shane Larkin on my team for about 3 weeks, and I didn't think he was going to play many minutes in the Real Madrid game just due to double weeks, and he played the most minutes in EuroLeague history. So I don't know how well my research is going. Maybe it's better not to do any research, but it's been a fun way to – it's a fun way to entertainment and – also, to like I mentioned on the previous podcast, just staying in touch with friends. It's something to talk about, you know, like my former teammates from Valencia here and Andorra. It's been a great EuroLeague season, and looking forward to the rest of the season.
Two things before we start talking about what's going to happen this double week. Last week I beat you, Frankie, finally, by like 40 points. It's a good start of 2024.
Does Frankie mention when he beats you, or is this...
No, because that would be every week, so what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. He has 20 more credits than I have. But what I want to mention is that in my good team, I ranked 40th overall, and two of the signings were Sterling Brown, who had a PR of 6, and Shabazz Napier, who had a PR of 2. Then I was 15 points away from first place. If I had just guessed one of the two players had a good player, extra player, I would be not the winner because I cannot win. But even when I cannot win, I mean, not being first and having this chance is eating me alive, really. It's all I can think about. I'm like, I'm never going to have anything like this again. But anyway, things are rolling in fantasy for me in 2024. And we have a double week coming up, Frankie.
Yes. So so there's it's an interesting week because it's a double week coming on the back of a double week. And we have unlimited trades. So it brings a lot of strategy and different approaches into it. There's a couple things, though, that are interesting about this week, which I think it's perfect to have John on to ask him about. And one is a topic you already brought up, which is the load management of all these guys. Players, not just every player played two games last week, a domestic game over the weekend, now two more games. But then there's the Real Madrid and the FS guys, who some of them played north of 45 minutes. Larkin played 53 minutes. How do you take that into consideration? Or let me ask you, what's the most you've ever played in the game?
I think I've played mid-30s, so, you know, maybe 20 minutes less than what Shane Larkin played, like a whole half less. So I can't compare to what he's going through, especially as a point guard and the focus of the other team's defense. And then playing a domestic league on top of that, you know, like the Real Madrid played Baskonia yesterday in Baskonia. So for them, they had such a deep roster, but still, those got like, and they ended up coming away with the victory in Baskonia. So I think for them, that's such a veteran team where, you know, you have Tavares and then Poirier comes off the bit like a very experienced group that knows how to win, clearly, based off that FS game. But playing 50 minutes and then going to Panathinaikos, and then unfortunately FS has had so many injuries, their lineup continues to change. You know, Tyreek Jones coming down with an injury is tough, where guys, they haven't really been able to find chemistry with amongst their team, because each night their role is changing. Each guy outside of Larkin, you know, everyone's roles change each game. So I'm curious to see how it goes. I hope I hope everybody stays healthy, and I'm excited to see how it turns out with this double week.
Pleiss also, Tibor Pleiss also played north of 50 minutes in that game.
Yeah.
But they both sat down in the Turkish League game this weekend. Larkin and Pleiss. They didn't play. By the way, Oturu had
Well, they didn't spend any time sitting in the Madrid game, so I'm glad they got a moment to sit and get a little rest.
No, what I'm trying to say is without Tariq Jones, first game, Dan Oturu had a PR of 39. This is something to consider. I think Pleiss and Oturu are right now excellent fantasy picks, and I'm even thinking about getting both of them, but I don't know if it's a good idea. Because also there's another problem, which is that in this round, you only have two games on Wednesday, meaning that options for turn two are really limited to just four teams. So I don't know.
Yeah, I will say that on my team, I went building and I specifically got two high-priced players playing Wednesday, Toko Shengelia and Josh Nibo, right out of the bat, because I wanted that safety net if something went wrong somewhere else, I could always plug them in. And I think that I'd advise somebody to look for people, for players to look for guys playing on those Wednesdays game to have that. You don't want to go all in on the Tuesday games and get stuck with, as Javi knows, all of a sudden your centers get zero and there's nothing to do about it.
Yeah, no, 2 weeks ago we had the same situation. Remember that I went with players only from the first turn, but I had to change because Hesonja didn't play. And I had Alpha Diallo in the second turn, and I kind of was forced to put him into captain, and he saved my round, basically. So it's always a good idea. My player that I mean, other than Shengelia, I like Bonzi Colson a lot this week because, I don't know, I think he can be a mismatch, a small forward against Virtus. So I'm considering him, and I'm thinking I'm going to buy it for sure.
Yeah, he's been playing excellent for Maccabi the whole season, but especially these last couple of weeks, he's really come on strong. So,
yeah. Another thing that is good about the unlimited trades is that you can change your bench. I have players like Ediaitis and people who, I mean, Josep Puerto, that I couldn't get rid of because of the territory limits. But now it's a new day. And I'm buying new players. I have Flaccadori of Milan, for sure. I got Pleiss as a backup center, for sure. And let me check. But I also have a new player, really cheap, Yeah, Mateo Spaniolo. I like Mateo Spaniolo a lot because he's been playing very well. And I think he can only get better. And he plays in Italy this week, so he'll be extra motivated. So these are the cheap players that I'm getting, along with Larentzakis, who is always on and off, I think, every fantasy team, right?
John, yeah, who are your cheaper players that you've added?
So I added – so my mainstays of my team, I've stuck with Moneke and Shingilia basically the whole season. Just, you know, guys that really produce, especially from an index level in this game. Both, like, very physical guys that finish well around the rim. So I went with the Toru as well. And one guy I signed this week was Hackett. I think he's playing great for Bologna. I think him and Shingilia are clearly the leaders of that team. And I think I saw Hackett 9 out of his last 10 games has been in double digits for fantasy points. So I think he's a guy, I think he's at 10.8 roughly, is a guy to look at picking up. And then one of the guys with lower fantasy, I went with Lekavicius, who's been, you know, with his new coach, has been playing 20 minutes. And I think for those guys that are lower point fantasy guys, I think if you find guys that play minutes, you know, like 20 minutes, like I had Edwin Jackson for a little while as a guy, like guys that play minutes and you hope they produce some fantasy points. So, and then I went with the Toru as well and Gillespie as my centers. I'm a little nervous putting two centers playing on the same night, like you mentioned previously, but Gillespie, I had Bolenboy, but I didn't want to put two centers on the same team. And Gillespie right now at 6 seemed like a guy worth taking a risk on.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that nobody's mentioning Zenon Moussa after the game he had. You know, in my good team, I had him as captain. You know why? Because after the first round of games, I checked like the top team, top teams in my fantasy, in my private league, the one I competed against Frankie and against pretty much the entire EuroLeague. And also, nobody had Moussa. And I said, well, if he plays well, this is going to be huge. And then he didn't play well. He played excellent. He played the best, a career best game. So it was awesome. But he also had a PR of 25 last night against Baskonia. So I wonder, what do you think? Is Moussa going to stay at this huge level or not really?
For me, I mean, I hope... I hope so. There's just so much unknown after playing a 4 overtime game and then playing Baskonia and then going against a team like they play Bayern. So I'm curious how – I'm afraid to pick any of those Madrid or FS guys for the most part outside of Toru, just because I'm not – I don't know what the outcome is going to be following that. So I stayed away, but obviously great choices and – another guy who's shown he can put up high index value.
I think when you're in a team as loaded as Real Madrid, that there's a risk. If you don't have some skill that stands out that they can't replace, like Tavares, there's only one Tavares, even though they have certainly the best backup center, it looks like, in the league. But if Tavares is playing well, then you roll with Tavares. As great as Moussa is, you still have a lot of guys who play that position who bring a lot to the table, and it's hard to roll every game on Moussa when you have all those guys. So that's what makes me nervous. He could have this game, he could have that game again, but can he do it week in, week out all season? I don't think so. And for the prices you have to pay, I feel like it's a risk. So I don't have him on my team this week, although I wouldn't be stunned if he has another great game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. I think especially following a 4 overtime game, guys' index values were higher, obviously, after playing that many minutes. And for them, now their value in the fantasy game alone, you know, like each value went up. And are they going to maintain that, or are you buying at the high? Because like you mentioned, you know, like Hazonia played great and, you know, Yabusele comes back. Hazonia was MVP of the month in December. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Yabusele comes back, and that's the beauty of Madrid, where everyone's accepting their roles, but they also can change throughout the season. But it's a team that, like you said, knows how to win.
Let me, you know a little bit more about travel and home court advantage as opposed to travel than just about any player in on the continent. This week, we've got a handful of teams that are playing, five teams that are playing at home twice, five teams are playing on the road twice. And then there's three games in round 21 where it's got teams that have been home all week are getting teams that have been on the road all week. I'll tell you who it is. It was Asvel hosting Alba Berlin, Milan hosting Zvezda, and Barcelona hosting Žalgiris. How much of an advantage is it for those three teams in that game that are home playing those guys that have been traveling? And is that something you would take into consideration later this week when you're building your team for round 21?
Yeah, I think those teams playing two home games, it definitely plays an advantage just in terms of scouting and sleeping in your own bed, you know, like less travel, just logistically is much better. Asvel is the one case, you know, with coaching change, I might take that into account just given the dynamic of that team changes once again. But for those other teams playing two home games, I would say it's definitely beneficial because when you're on the road, it's perhaps you're able to focus more because you're gone from your family, etc. But it's definitely taxing on the body, I would say. And you're like these guys, you scout maybe one day, you know, or maybe the day of the game you're doing your scout because you played a domestic league game Sunday and now you have a quick turnaround Tuesday. So maybe I assume Monday the team's either traveling or resting and getting maybe walking through plays. But I think at this point, you're probably just focusing on what your team, like focusing on yourself as a team, as opposed to the opponent.
All right. Well, should we start revealing our teams? Let's begin with with the head coach. I'm gonna go first and say that I got Ettore Messina. Milan plays at home against Alba Berlin. They play again at home in the next round. So Messina is my choice. I really think Milan is on the rise, and I think he's gonna win both games. So that's why I'm picking Messina probably for the entire week.
I also have Messina as my head coach. I actually consider Sfaropoulos, and maybe if I look to make some changes last minute, Sfaropoulos is a little bit cheaper, so I might bring him in just for the extra value there. But those are the two coaches that right now I'm considering. But Messina is the one on my team for now.
Yeah, I went with Sfaropoulos. I don't want to butcher his name. I apologize. But the head coach of Red Stars, like you said, due to value, and Red Stars is a team that has really been playing well as of late. And I think looking at their schedule, he might be a coach I keep for a little while. Just they're playing good basketball. So I saw Teodosic got hurt, but I still think for the value and the way they're playing, I went with him.
The one player I recommend, even when I cannot afford it, I'm trying to find a way to squeeze him in somehow. But right now I don't have him in my team, is Mike James. I think Mike James playing against a former team at home, being so solid all season, it should be the number one choice. And I'm going to try, I have Bonsi Colson. I'll probably sell him for a cheaper player so that I can afford Mike James. I don't know. What's your number one choice? You know, you have a clean slate. You can choose anybody. So who are your number one picks?
Well, I started, my number one pick actually was Lekavičius because I wanted to lock in that cheap player when I was building the team, someone who I knew didn't cost a lot and I felt, you know, could be on the rise. That's not the answer you expected, but that's the first one I penciled in. But I have Mike James as my captain. And I think that's, for all the reasons you said, that's a safe choice for this round.
Yeah, I went with Moneke as my captain. Obviously, difficult playing his former team, but a difficult matchup facing, you know, a physical opponent and playing against John Brown, especially, who's been one of the top defenders in the EuroLeague this season. But he's a guy that, you know, with his physicality, I looked at the double weeks as, you know, more veteran guys and also guys who might not be jump shooters, guys that are around the basket, getting rebounds, drawing fouls. And, you know, Moneke is someone who's been playing at a really high level and who's also, you know, his jump shot's really improved too throughout the season. So I think he's really become a much more dynamic player, and he's proving it with the season he's having.
I considered him, but then I went to look and he had a zero last time they played.
I did notice that, but like I said, there's been some guys that have been like mainstays on my team, and Moneke, Toko, and I think at this moment I've gone with Calathes as of late, just a veteran guard who has played for Saras, and he's a guy that knows how to play, and I think at his value, he was at like 10 credits for a while, and if he's on the court for more than 20 minutes, he's a guy that, you know, I think good things are going to happen, and you check the stat sheet and he's going to fill it up. And it's someone Saras trusts. You know how we mentioned they've been playing double weeks, where in terms of implementing the system you want, I think it's someone he trusts and knows if he puts him out there, he's going to perform well.
Totally. I found a way to put my change while you were talking, by the way. because I didn't notice.
What kind of cheating is going on here behind the scenes? No.
Also, do you appreciate that he's not listening to you at all? He's just working on his team when you're talking.
Yeah, I assume there's someone behind there doing coding or something somehow. System for you.
I have to say the truth. I didn't consider Lekavičius alone at all. Then I said 4.8 credits. Are you kidding me? So I replaced him with Espanola. They gave me, I had also an extra credit. So with these three credits, I could change Lorenzo Brown with Mike James. So thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, we're happy to help.
All right. So
at forward, I actually went for Sedokerskis, who I think has a lower ceiling than Moneke, but maybe a higher floor and is a little bit cheaper. And he's been, at this point, he's kind of locked into his price, but going to the beginning of the season, he was been a steal. Anyone who had him early on, he started the game pretty cheap. But I feel like he gives me solid production at forward, and that's what I was looking for. And plus, I have Toko on the bench, so I'm less worried.
All right. Well, my team finally, and I promise I'm not going to touch it again, is Mike James.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, no. Sure. I mean, you can have injuries and everything, but if not, then I think I have a pretty good team like this. It's going to be Mike James, Lekavičius, then Alpha Diallo, who has been amazing lately, Elijah Bryant and Tibor Pleiss starting, with Diego Flaccadori as six man, and Lighty playing round one, but not being on the bench directly. And in case everything goes wrong, I have Vesely. For whatever reason, Barca is playing four consecutive home games, two last week and two this week. And Vesely has been amazing lately, so I like it. Colson, like I said, and Larentzakis, who, like I said, I think he's been in every fantasy team at this point. So that's it. That's my team with Messina's coach.
All right, so I'll go next. I have my centers. I've got Jonas Thiemann and Josh Nebo. I did a quick look to see how centers had played against Milan the last couple of weeks. Milan's playing great. They've given up a lot to big men. So I felt that it might be a good week to bring in Thiemann. And if that's a roll of the dice, well, then I've got, again, Josh Nebo on Wednesday. So I'm comfortable with that. My forwards are Sedokerskis, Toko, Semi Ojeleye, and then my last one, just because I ran out of money, is Rafimenko. If I were to make any moves, it would be to replace Rafimenko. Although 2 and 3 rounds ago, he had 7 and 8 PAR, which is not bad for somebody on the bench. So I'm not too worried about it. And at guard, I've got Lekavičius, Mike James, Napier, and Marinkovic.
Nice, I like it. All right, well, John,
wait,
how about you?
John's got to go, right?
Yeah. Wait. Have you made any? Javi, have there been any changes to your team in this last?
No.
Just.
Wait. Let me check. No.
So I don't have my team in front of me, but I have Atoru and Gillespie at center. Like I said, I had Bolenboy, who's been having an awesome season for Red Star, but I didn't want to Gillespie at his value at 6 credits seemed like a guy to take a flyer on. And Etoru, someone who's been, you know, having to play, I think, 4 and 5, given Pleiss at center. He's someone who, like I said, around the basket, getting rebounds, and with the unfortunate injury of Jones, I think someone who's going to play a lot of minutes. Previously mentioned Moneke, and then I have, like I said, Kalathis, and I went with Napier as well. I had Melly for the last couple of weeks because he's been playing at such a high level, but I wasn't sure with Napier how the dynamic changes there. So I went with Napier just for a guy who's played great for Milan last year. And I'm trying to think. I don't have my team. I have Hackett and Toko. Like I said, two guys that have produced the entire year, and the two leaders of that team for Bologna, who's been probably, you know, the surprise or one of the best stories of the EuroLeague season so far with how well they've been playing. Lekavicius, is that it? I think I might have two more guys, but I don't know who else. But I'm excited for the double week. So my team looks great right now, and then I'm sure come Wednesday night I'll be kicking myself for some.
It always looks great on paper.
yeah.
All right, John. Well, good luck in Lithuania. I know you have Lithuanian roots, so it might be exciting for you to go to Panevėžys this week. Very good luck to Gran Canaria, and of course you're permanently invited to the Fantasy Podcast.
Whenever you want to be back. Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
Before you go, there's one more question I have to ask you. Have you ever said to an opponent, "You're on my fantasy team"?
No. There was no mention of that yesterday at Valencia. No, can't say I have.
All right. Well, Frankie, wrap it up. What can I say? Thank you very much for everybody. It's been a wild ride so far, and I hope 2024 brings very good things in the fantasy business for everybody.
These are historic times for the game. There's never been anything like this for mid-season to have a complete do-over after so many games, two games coming up. So I just hope that this conversation helps people, gives them some ideas, some thoughts as they're putting together their rosters. And let's hope for a nice high-scoring game, and it'll be nice to see you try and beat me again, Javi.
Well, the conversation certainly helped me. I changed my way through, so yeah. All right, very good luck to everybody, and see you guys next week.